that's what Vicky shared about that child who's our King, who's our risen Savior, is the reason we're here this morning. On a Sunday morning where I know I was feeling this way this morning, I'd still like to be in bed. You know, we had our youngest is going through teething right now. It would be nice to be in bed. But we're here this morning because a child was born, because he lived a life that you and I couldn't live and died a sacrifice for our sins, rose again on a Sunday. And then we celebrate this time of year because he's come. And that's really what Advent's all about. Advent's a time of year where we're very intentional about focusing on the fact that he has come. He's visited us, and that he will visit us again one day to make everything new. And so that's the focal point. If you want to begin turning to 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to be just looking at two verses this morning. I'd encourage you to go ahead and begin turning there. While you're turning there, I wanted to kind of hit on the significance of why we're here and what this time of year really is all about. Like I said, Advent is a time of year where we intentionally take time to focus, and we need to. If we're honest with ourselves, this time of year we kind of get lost in the season, you know, the events and things we have planned with family and friends and the activities we have that make family traditions and community traditions and church traditions, and those are beautiful things. And sometimes we get so caught up in the events and the activities and what we need to do that we lose sight of the focus of the holiday season. Even when those events actually point to Jesus, sometimes we still lose sight of that. And I think it's because we need to be reminded that this time of year, Christmas is bigger than you or I. The most difficult thing a Christian, I will argue, one of the most difficult realities you and I will ever have to wrestle with as Christians is the fact our lives are no longer about us. And we need to be reminded of that. And Christmas, the name itself, should be a reminder. I don't know if you've thought about that. It's not Claymus. It's not Melissimus. It's not Dalemus. It's not Randymus. It's Christmas. It comes from Latin of the Mass that they did for Christ. Christmas, a service, a special service they had for Jesus in the early church. This is where we get the term Christmas. It's about him. This time of year is to remind us that our lives are not about us, they're about him. And this time of year is not about us, it's about him. And so the passage we're going to be looking at this morning, I believe that is really the theme. And as we look at it, we're going to be looking at it in maybe a different angle than you've heard this taught before, but we need to be reminded that this is not about us, it's about him. It's about our Lord and Savior Jesus. It's about our God and what he's done for us in sending his son. So if you're already there, please stand for the reading of God's word. If you're not there yet, you'll see it up on the screen behind me. So we'll be starting in verse 11, and we'll be reading just two verses here in 1 Peter chapter 2. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your souls. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. You may be seated. And as you're being seated, if you would bow with me in prayer. Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you for coming and becoming one of us, that we are able to celebrate what you've done in the virgin birth this holiday season. I ask you to prepare our hearts to celebrate you, to enjoy you as our greatest treasure this holiday season. We have great joy because of you. A joy that can't be taken away by circumstances or situations, because it rests in you, our God and King, Jesus. I ask that you would guard my words this morning and fill me with your Spirit. things this morning, past, present, future kind of thing. A little bit like the Christmas Carol, but not quite. You know, the ghost of Christmas past, Christmas present, and Christmas future. We're sort of coming from that angle a little bit, but this passage really hints at where I'm going. There are three things that we need to look at, and I'm really going to be focusing on this idea of God visiting us, this day of visitation. Commentators tell us that either that's talking about the day of salvation, when God visits us by His Spirit and we respond in faith and we come to know the Lord Jesus as our Savior and we are now one of His children forever. I pray that you could say that that is part of your testimony. Or it's talking about something future, the day that Jesus will return and set foot on this earth, making a new heaven and a new earth, giving us new bodies forever. Or, this is where I lean, some commentators say, well, why do you have to pick one? I think it's referring to both. That both were to have in mind that God is visiting us now as the good news is preached, as we tell people about a Savior who was born of a virgin this Christmas season, who lived a perfect life, who died a death you and I deserved, but He did it for us, so that if we trust Him, we don't have to die that death. He did it for us. And then rose again, proving that he was who He said He was, and proving that He did accomplish what He said He would do. And that He will visit us one day, and that's our future hope. We've looked at those things in the last couple weeks. But also, I think it's implied here in this passage in the first verse, the reason why we can have those things, the reason why we look forward to and hope that others will be ready for His day of visitation, both now and in the future, is because He already has visited us. So we're looking at those three aspects this morning from this passage, the fact that God indeed has already visited us, He is visiting us, and He will visit us. So God has already visited humanity, as Vicky sung about, and we sung about as we sang Christmas carols this morning. He's visited us in His Son Jesus. And this is where I get this from the text. You notice that Peter says here in verse 11, "Beloved, those who he loves, those who are loved by God, I urge you as sojourners and exiles." So stop, and I'm stopping there. The reason why he's able to refer to us, those of us who are in Christ, is beloved, both by the author here and by God, is because God has already visited us. The reason why you and I can enjoy the love of God and what He's given us in His Son is because God put on flesh and walked among us. He already has visited us, and that's where you and I find our identity this Christmas season. Your identity is not who you spend Christmas with, or what you are able to give other people, or how selfless you can be, or what you are given by other people. Your identity this Christmas season should be, because God has visited me, I live differently. I look at things differently. That's what exile and stranger means. You and I live as citizens of the kingdom, with God being our king. We cherish Jesus this holiday season when other people cherish everything else. That's going to look different. And the reason why you and I should be encouraged and motivated to live that way is because it's funny. When you look at what we are to be here in this passage, exiles, strangers in a foreign land, we got to look back on the fact that God had visited us in His Son Jesus, because you know what? God's not asking us to do here in this passage anything He hasn't already done Himself in His Son. Jesus was an exile. He lived this life as an exile. Think about it. He left His home in heaven and came here. This was not His home, but He came here and lived here. He became one of us. He put on human flesh. That's what we're looking at this Christmas season, is that God, creator of heaven and earth, left His home, left His throne in heaven, in the Son, and was born in poverty, in humility, not even acknowledged enough by men to be given room in an inn. born in a barn among livestock. You can imagine the smells in a barn. That's where our Savior was born. Because he came here as an exile. He came here knowing where his true home was, knowing who his father was, knowing who he was going to live his life for. And like he is, we ought to want to be like our Savior. God's not asking you to live life this Christmas season in a way that he hasn't already lived in the person of Jesus. So in Jesus, if you put trust in Jesus, you believe in him, you know he's the reason for the season, then that means that you likewise this Christmas season ought to live as an exile, ought to live acknowledging that your Savior and King dictates and shapes what you value, what you love in life, and he is the focus this Christmas season. He is your source of joy, not anything else. It doesn't mean that we don't enjoy other things around us. But our ultimate joy is Christ. It's something that we can't have taken from us. It's something that you and I have forever. And the reason we can be so happy about that is Jesus has done it for us. He did it to show us how it ought to be. But even though you and I fail at it, we get his record of having done it. Not only that, our home becomes his home has become our home. Jesus came and put on flesh so that you and I would have a place with him forever if you trust in him. The reason why we do the things we do is because God has already visited us. The reason why you are who you are in the faith is because God's already visited us. Remember that this Christmas season. Remember that is why we gather here on a Sunday. And that's why we look forward to celebrating this time of year. It's because it marks our God entering in to time and place and becoming one of us. Now we're going to get into why this really matters. The reason why this, you got to have this as a foundation. I think this is in the forefront of the author's mind as he's telling, here's who you are, beloved. As exiles and sojourners live this way. He wants you and I to live as exiles, to live in a way that is different than everybody else around us for a purpose. And we'll see that purpose here in the next passage. At the end of verse 11, we're to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against our souls, so that basically other people will come to glorify God. Now this is interesting. I need to define some words here because we use them a lot, especially this time of year. Glory to God in the highest. Gloria. Glory or glorifying God is about making much of him. If you look at up on the screen, you can see there's a couple ways we can understand that word, but I think they all gravitate around the same idea. Different ways of saying it. Glorifying God is making much of him with your life. It's displaying how valuable he is. We are to treasure what's valuable to us. We do this anyway. You treasure, you hold on tightly, you prioritize for that which you treasure most. To glorify God is to treasure him most of all. One of my favorite pastors says it this way. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. Think about that. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. This first charge here, to abstain from the passions of the flesh, is about treasuring God most of all. He says it in the negative to us, and then he repeats it in the positive for others. He's emphasizing you living as an exile really comes down to, first and foremost, what you treasure most. Enjoy, God wants, I want you to see you enjoy God most of all this holiday season. That's going to make you an exile. You're gonna be living like a stranger, because people just don't do that, except for those whom God has already visited. It is imperative that you and I treasure Christ most of all, because, as he continues in this verse, by living as exiles, as you and I treasuring God more than anything else, other people see that in us and see how we live and what we say and what we value, and they begin to glorify God too. That's how it works. People just don't glorify God out of nowhere. God has put you here this holiday season. I believe this is the perfect time of year to talk about this. We're already focused on Jesus. We've already pointed out this morning it's all about him and not about us, right? Well, the reason why he has you and I here on this earth, the reason why he came and visited us to begin with, is so those of us who are enjoying him, who are glorifying him, who are treasuring him more than anything else, will do so in a way that other people, when other people are gonna say bad things about you. He says that here in this verse. That they speak of us as evildoers. So they don't have a high opinion of Christians. They may think you're a hypocrite. They may think, fill in the blank. But as they see you valuing God, when he visits them, they'll glorify him. What he's saying here, we're going to focus on the fact that this is talking about salvation. We're going to focus on that, and then we'll focus on the future. What you and I do is instrumental in people coming to faith. I think that's one of the emphases is here. The reason why it's so important that you and I treasure God, first of all, he's worth treasuring, but this passage is emphasizing the reason why it's so important that you and I treasure God, abstaining from anything else, any other passion that is greater than God, is because that is how God saves people. He doesn't do it any other way. So if you and I are not living as exiles, if we're not treasuring God more than anything else, then the people around us won't. They won't. On the day that God visits them, they won't. When they hear, God visits people two ways. He visits us through his Spirit, and he'll visit us physically when he returns. Right here in this passage, I want to point out that if you and I are not enjoying God, when God comes and visits them by his Spirit, through you telling them about Jesus, the gospel being presented, you are instrumental in them coming to faith. Your enjoyment of God shows them in a way that they may not even completely understand, that God is worth enjoying. God is worth treasuring. God is worth giving my life to. As they see it in you and as they hear you talk about Jesus. If we're not willing to do that, then we can't expect other people to come to faith around us. It's not just about talking about, well, you need to do this and you need to do that. We like to do that. We like to tell people what they need to do. If we are not treasuring Christ this season, even as our mouth and our actions and things we post or things we put in our yard say, it's all about Jesus. If we are not treasuring Christ more than anything else, then our words are empty. Our actions are empty. People around us see through it. You can tell them all day long it's about Jesus, but if your life doesn't show it, you are not going to be instrumental in bringing them to faith. You can't expect people to come to faith that you're hoping will come to Jesus if you're not treasuring him as your greatest treasure and abstaining from any other passion that leads you away from Jesus. And the second deal that I really want to hit. You ought to be concerned about God visiting people now, because he will visit. He is going to visit anyway in the future. Now, God is not only visiting people now as we talked about Jesus, as we share Jesus, as we tell tell them about what he's done this Christmas season as we point to him as being the reason for the season. But he's going to come back. He's going to set his feet on the ground and establish himself as the eternal king of the heavens and the earth forever. And every person's going to have to stand in the presence of Christ. If you are not treasuring Christ and living a life that displays that, you're not preparing people to stand before the presence of Christ when he comes back as king, and it's going to be too late for them to decide. You and I should desire to see people glorifying God now by enjoying him, coming to faith now, because Jesus is coming back. And when he comes back, they'll have to bow their knee before him, but they won't be able to enjoy him. They'll be separated from him forever. So the main idea this morning I want to push, the main two questions that I really want to drive home is, are you treasuring God as your greatest treasure? Is God who you are treasuring most? Look, the truth is, most of the time we don't, if we're really honest. We fail at this. And we need to own it. Because God's already visited us in his Son. He died on the cross for us to pay for the fact that we haven't honored him as we should. We need to own it so that we can repent, so that we can receive forgiveness, and so that God can begin to change us from the inside out so that we do treasure God. So that he is the pursuit of our hearts, so that he is what we're chasing after more than anything else. And we have to do that daily because, to be honest, the first thing in the morning we're thinking about when we wake up is probably not Jesus, but how we're going to make it through our day. So we have to wake up this morning asking this question, am I treasuring God as my greatest treasure? And you know what? We ought to be honest enough with ourselves to be able to answer and say, you know what? I'm not. Which as Christians shouldn't be hard for us, because our Savior died so that we could own our sin, so that we could repent, so that we could be transformed, so that we could treasure God as our greatest treasure. We have to ask God to help us put to death the things, the passions of the flesh, that lead us away from Jesus this holiday season. So are you treasuring God as your greatest treasure? If not, repent. That's why he came to visit us in the first place, was so that we would have salvation, so that we would have forgiveness, so that we would have a new life and a new heart, so that we would have his Spirit at work in us, helping us to treasure God more than anything else. Be honest with yourself this morning. God already knows anyway. And the second question is, do you desire to see other people enjoying him? Because if you don't, you ought to be honest. I don't, probably, as I should. You have forgiveness in Christ. You have the opportunity to ask Jesus whatever you need to walk this walk of faith. And the one thing that we forget to ask most of all is a heart filled with love for him. Because most of the time we don't have it. Not to the extent that he's called us to. And if you're not treasuring God, you're not going to treasure others. You're not going to love others. You're not going to be burdened to see them enjoy God like you do. And we have to take these two questions seriously. Because God's already visited us. That's the point of this time of year. It's looking back on what God has done in the birth of his Son, and in his death and in his resurrection. But these two questions matter because God is visiting people now. And you and I are the means by which he does it. And we have to take that seriously. Because if we don't, people around us miss out. And we'll be held accountable. And God is also, we have to take this seriously, these two questions seriously, because God is going to visit us. There will be a day where every person has to answer to God. Jesus is going to return, put his physical feet on the ground, creating a new heaven and new earth, and he will judge the nations. That includes our family, our friends, people we live next to. And what we do now in treasuring God and trying to know him and make him known matters because their eternal standing before God is at stake. Whether they stand in Jesus' presence and glorify Him and enjoy Him forever, as you and I will if we're in Christ, is in the balance. And if you and I don't take enjoying God seriously, they become the casualties. They become the casualties of us not taking this seriously. So I want to leave you not just with these two questions, but even maybe a little bit more pointed. Because some of you may not be ready for this. Are you ready for His visitation? Are you ready to stand in the presence of Christ and answer for the life that you've lived? The only way that you can be ready for that day is to have had Him visit you and become your Lord and Savior. Has He done that? Has the Holy Spirit visited you? Have you become one of His children so that you're prepared for the day of His visitation in the future? If not, I want to make sure this morning you're ready, that you are enjoying God as your greatest treasure, and you are filled with joy towards Him, and you're wanting to see others around you have the same. And the second question, if you know you're ready for that day, you need to ask that about the people around you. People that maybe you feel, well, I don't have to worry about them. You know, they say that they've X, Y, and Z. But the truth is, there's no joy for God in their lives. And if we're really honest with ourselves, we probably, some of them, we've never seen that joy. They may have gone through some motions, but they've never known the enjoyment that we know in our Savior Jesus. Are they ready for His day of visitation to stand before the presence of the King and answer for the life they've lived? If we don't think they're ready, then we need to pray for them and we need to pursue them so that God will visit them today so they'll be ready for tomorrow. So as we have our time of visitation, I want you to think, am I enjoying God? Am I ready for that day of visitation? Am I looking forward of standing in the presence of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? I pray that you are, that that is a day that you are looking forward to. And if you're not, then I ask during our time of invitation, you'd repent. You'd ask God to give you that joy, to give you that heart. And two, I want you to look to yourself, but I want you to look outward too. Are the people around you ready for that day? If they're not, pray for them this morning. Ask God to give you an opportunity to tell them about why they should enjoy God. To help tell them how they can be equipped to be ready to stand in the presence of Jesus. Because He is going to visit us. He's promised that. And we know that our Savior keeps His promises. So during our time of invitation, I ask that you do some reflection, that you pray and you respond as the Lord leads. If you need to pray down here, you can pray down here. If you want to pray with me, I'd be more than willing to pray with you. If you would stand, I'm going to pray over you, and then we'll have our time of invitation. Lord Jesus, thank you. For visiting us, for becoming one of us, putting on human flesh so that we might have life in you, so that we wouldn't have to fear the day that we have to stand before God and answer for our lives. You brought us salvation. You brought us forgiveness. You brought us restoration because you have visited us 2,000 years ago in a manger. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for those in this room that you've already visited, because there's a day they can look back on and say, I have had a visit from the Lord personally, and I know Him as my Lord and my Savior. I know that I'm a child of the King, and I'm looking forward to the day that I'll see Him again. I ask that you would fill them with great joy for what they have, because you visited us 2,000 years ago, and you visited them personally for those in this room who do not know if they've had a personal visitation from the Lord, I ask this morning that you would visit them, that they would come to know you as their Lord and King, that they would be drawn into your kingdom, that they would become a child of God this morning. And I lift up those who we are burdened for, who we know are not ready for the day to stand before Jesus the King and answer for their lives. I ask that you would give us opportunity to share with them the reason for the season, the reason why we have so much joy this time of year, that circumstances and situations cannot steal away from us.